read that.
And I remember the last time he was in my office. I haven't found that picture. I've got to open up a few more boxes. I wish and hope I can find it. Had my picture made with him in my office at the time, his old office, the last time he came to the center. Would you think that people in that case might be reading philosophy or the Bible mm-hmm. or something like that? He may have also, but he was still interested in what was going on in his center. I don't know if I, in the final version of my presentation, I did cover, I probably cut that out, but because I cut it about in half what I'd written for him, and then I had this time limit of 10 minutes, so I had to cut a lot of that out.
Mm-hmm.
But he was still interested in his Marshall Space Flight.
When do you think he became aware of his serious illness?
Well, it was, I guess he went, when he had this, he was bleeding. I don't think it was more than 2 years before he died, was it?
Probably 75.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
And the picture at the Cape was in 75. Yes.
I don't know. It might have been a little later than that. I think it was later. Might have been 75. I'm just...
And what was he there for?
It was probably a launch or something like that. We launched the Apollo Soyuz in 75. I'm not sure if that was the occasion mm-hmm. or not. But I don't believe we had another launch after that before he died.
Now, was that cancer of the colon or the stomach?
So.
Colon cancer. Yeah. I think I told that.
You know, he had this bleeding and he it stopped and then it started again. And it wasn't long after that.
Was he on a trip to Alaska or something? That was the first time.
I believe it was. I'm not sure if it was the Alaska trip was the first time or whether that was the second time, but it was.
Mm-hmm. But it did stop for a time.
I think so. Do you have, let's see, this Burgos?
Eric Burghaus?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's in there.
I believe it's in there.
Okay. Yes, I have access to that.
I've had that book a long time. I was looking over it, and I didn't know he quoted me in there. He quoted when Von Braun, when we dedicated the Civic Center, I made a little talk down there.
Mm-hmm.
Summing up something like that. Von Braun's son, Peter, you know, you may have gone through the Cub Scout Pinewood Derby making yourself.
Oh, yes, I sure did.
Most of us have been through that at that boys. Peter had that too, and of course Von Braun wasn't there, and Maria, who's just about as mechanical as nobody, you know, she was helping him all that, and they messed it up so bad they couldn't even use it. Had to go down to the hobby store and buy another set. But happened that we were all somewhere together with something, and she was talking about that. I don't know, just, and I said, well, you know, I can tell you, I said, I had, my youngest son was undefeated, and he ran in the Cubs, and he ran against the Weeblos. Somebody said it helps to have a 200-man laboratory behind you. I helped him, you know. Most of the kids were. painted on the wheels. But anyway, I told her, I gave her a few pointers on how to polish those things. And they made another one. I didn't see it, but Von Braun was here, I think, when the race was won. When it was run, but they didn't win. And so on the way back, Everhart was telling me this story. On the way back from the competition, Peter was kind of downcast. Von Braun said, "Well, now, Peter, you know, it's the practice of making these things. You know, somebody wins and somebody loses, and so you enjoy building the thing." But Peter's alleged to have said, "But God damn it, we lost." Von Braun was telling Everhart that. Everhart told me, and Everhart said, "Well, weren't the first thing you ought to do is teach us how not to say God damn it."
That's good. And now that's these little solid wood things, right?
Yeah, where you get a little block of wood,
we,
about 5 inches.
Right. And take it from there.
We
did that too. I don't think we ever won.
But it's a lot of fun. The idea is not to win. He's right there. The idea is to have the bonding between the daddy and the son. It turned out, I think Mike ran three times. And the first time I was there, and he won, and he won against the Weeblows. The next year.
That's the next.
Between
Cubs and Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Right.
And so the next time, he said, "Well, now, he just figured he's going to win again. We made another one." I said, "Well, now, Mike, you know, we were lucky last time. We might not win." "Oh, yeah, we win." And he did. Well, the next time, the third time, fortunately, I was gone, so Polly had to go with it. I was glad to get out of there because if he lost, you know, he just figured he won all this stuff. He couldn't lose.
Right.
So I turned that one over to Polly.
Oh, that's great. That's funny. But I had Mark, too, and of course you referred to Dr. Von Braun's having been a husband and father.
Yeah.
Any other stories you can recall, you know, regarding his children? Or I only recently learned that Maria, I'm sure with his encouragement and support, got her pilot's license.
I didn't even know that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I don't know that she ever flew
she would do that.
I did interview only a couple of weeks ago two pilots who worked for the charter service, you know, out of Huntsville Airport, who flew Dr. Von Braun. Well, I put quotation marks around "flew" because, as you said, he took the controls often if he didn't have work to do. They knew that she had gotten the license, but they didn't have any role in Ed Grubbs and George Failer.
George Failer. They were long time with it. And also, let's see what's his name, George Holt. George Holt was another one.
Mm-hmm.
But Ed Grubbs is still around. Did you talk to him?
Yes, talked to George and Ed.
They were down at the occasion in Birmingham.
Well, that in fact is where I met them and followed it up with an interview.
I got a letter from Ed afterwards. He commented. I spoke to him while we were down there. And I got a letter from him after that, and he asked for a copy of the talk, which I sent him. Well, we had close bonding. You know, your life depends on those people. I've flown some pretty bad weather with them because, you know, we didn't have a choice sometimes.
Sure.
So there's a pretty good bonding with the pilots.
I bet. They, not to dwell on this, but they both commented about how considerate Dr. Von Braun was of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once the plane had landed, and that he would include them wherever possible. I mean, if there was some treat or some lunch that they could join or dinner or...
Yeah, I've observed that.
That saw that they, of course, they had to keep alert to weather and what have you before they take off somewhere, but he was just real good about saying, you know, come on and join us. Very thoughtful. Those are some great, great stories, Bill. Let me see if there's anything else suggested here.
The one about the rockets to the wagon, you know, that's kind of an old story.
Oh, yes, yes, I've heard about that.
Yeah.
Did Von Braun ever talk about what a joy it was, apparently, to be involved in building this observatory on Montesano, the astronomical observatory?
I never heard him comment on it. I knew he did that.
That was an early passion of his, apparently.
Well, you know, he had this telescope. I think I had that story and cut it out of that paper there, where he, you know, he wasn't doing well in math at all. He had to be sent away to school.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother gave him, when he was confirmed in the Lutheran Church, I understand.
About age 14 or something?
I think it's 13 maybe.
Okay.
Somewhere around 12, 13. The normal thing was to give him a gold watch. But she gave him a telescope, a small telescope,
mm-hmm.
he said. So he took this with him to the school. And then he persuaded the principal at school to buy to get a school a bigger telescope. His wasn't big enough. And he persuaded them to get a 5-inch telescope. And then he persuaded the fellow students to help build a place to mount it,
mm-hmm.
showing early on his persuasive.
I'd never heard that story.
Hmm.
And succeeded in doing that. Of course, I'm aware of his role in getting the UA Research Institute created, and then the Space and Rocket Center after that.
That reminds me, if these things, I haven't had time to think about it so much, but I just jotted down these little things. That reminds me of that research institute, at the time, we had a graduate school before we had a
undergraduate
school.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a graduate study steering committee. When we were in the Army, that was back in the 50s, we had the graduate study steering committee. And I was member of that committee. Matter of fact, I was chairman of it sometime. And then when we split off between NASA and the Marshall and the Army, we had the joint steering committee. And one year the Army person would be chairman, and the next year Marshall person was. And Post Hallis, he's dead now, but was the chairman then. And I was the chairman in the Army side of it. And I remember Jerry McCall and I think maybe Rush Shelton and I were the three main Marshall people. And Jerry, did you know Jerry? You know, he was...
Oh, yes.
He wanted to get things done quickly. And we were trying to get them to move on and form this, this graduate program, move it up here. You know, we had school, an extension school, but
mm-hmm.
trying to push them into doing this. And I remember one meeting we had, Jerry, I think it was Jerry, was saying, well, now, Dr. Von Braun, you ought to tell them this. You ought to tell Frank Rose or so-and-so this and that and so on. He said, no. He said, I remember I've used this lesson a number of times. He said, no, that's not the right way. He says, you know, if you fellas get out on the limb and I'm back here at the trunk and somebody starts sawing it off, I can pull you back. He said, you know, if you go too far, push too far, I can always say, well, you know, the fellas, they're young and they got a little overly aggressive and exuberant, mm-hmm. but, you know, I'll take care of that. But said, if all four of us have to own the limb together and somebody starts sawing it off, we're gone. There's nobody to put it back. And that's a pretty good observation, I think, that, you know, there's some things, there's some risk you have to take in making your point. But mm-hmm. if you have the top man make it too, and it goes sour, there's mm-hmm. nobody to get you out.
Mm-hmm.
But if the top man is he's above the clouds, you know, he's sitting back here and he patronizing the young fellows who are
the young Turks
are running out there and running off and doing things they don't have to do. Maybe.
Interesting.
Yeah, he was instrumental in getting that. In the Research Institute was the first step, and then the graduate program.
Bill, you've helped a great deal. That's some matters I'd never heard before, and it'll sure help.
Well, I hope so.
I appreciate it.
You're going to try to get this done before the year.